Liberty News, taking the lock on the shackles of tyranny.
Machines are going to fail, and the system's going to fail.
The past is past, the future's now.
Don't look at me. I think these people are completely nuts.
Sometimes trouble just follows a man.
There is another organism on this planet that follows the same pattern. You know what it is? A virus.
Can't you stop your lips from flapping for 2 little minutes?
Because I'm white. I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to feel loved. I need to be desired.
Yeah, I'm rapping that is coming in the big underground successes.
It's a question of methods. Everybody wants results, but nobody wants to do what they have to do to get them done.
And now, coming to you live from Kalispell, Montana, brought to you by Northwest Liberty News, it's Montana Gazette Radio with your host, James White. Okay, I'm indeed your host, James White. This is Montana Gazette Radio. Thanks so much for joining me here today on this ninth day of June 2021. And yes, indeed, the year is nearly half over, if you can believe it. It seems like the first of the year was just a couple of days ago. But that's how things operate in this world. It seems everything seems to be so intense. Everything seems to be packed in. Things that used to happen that used to last in the news cycle for weeks now last for hours. And it's just the world we're living in. Well, we have a person on today that has really done a good job of making some sense of the madness. And he's certainly done a great job. Just got done with his session here at the Montana Legislature in the 2021 session. I'm talking about Representative Derek Skies. He's been a guest on the show numerous times, probably the most interviewed, I think, Montana legislator that I've interviewed probably more than anybody has been Derek Skies. And I'm always delighted to have him on the show. He, of course, is running for public service commissioner here in the next election cycle, and we'll probably have him on several times, I'm sure, before that. Today, he's on today to talk about the redistricting and other things, and we have a PowerPoint presentation that we're going to go over. But without further delay, we would like to welcome our good friend Derek Skies here to the show. You have to hit the little button there for us. Derek, you good?
Got you, Jim. Excellent. Thanks for having me, bud.
Derek, always great to have you on the broadcast. Thanks so much for being here. And I guess probably I don't think we've had a chance to talk since maybe we have. You know, I mean, we talk personally a lot, and then you've been on the show interviewed a lot. So the two kind of run together. I'm not sure if we've had a chance to talk yet since the legislative session, but what's your overall grade on how things went? I think I had Secretary of State Christy Jacobson on, I think it was yesterday, and did a recording with her, and she thought that towards the end, certainly it was an A. And I think I did ask you before, Derek. I think I've asked you that before. I think you said it's like an A- or something. But the legislative session is over, and now we've got the redistricting battle that's going on. And that's a serious matter. It means a lot. So I want you to, if you can, I want to have you on today to talk about that a little bit. Give us a bit of sort of a background. I think that, you know, that just that term itself, I think, is probably – maybe not really clear in the mind of what some people, what exactly that means, you know, redrawing the map or, you know, redoing the legislators and different, you know, different districts and stuff. If you can, just give us a little bit of a reset here and as a background, you know, lay out what this means generally, and then we'll go into the specifics. Derek Skies.
Excellent. Thanks, Jim. And thank you to your listeners for joining us today. Let's do a little civics 101. Montana Constitution, and I believe almost all the states do this. Every 10 years in America, we have a census. And that data usually comes to us, 20. It's always at a decennial point, so 2000, 2010, 2020. So we don't really get the full data till around 2012, 13, or 2022 or 2023. So we're getting the data back from the federal government. We found out that we have a second congressional district by our population from a reduction in population of other states and an increase in ours. So that's pretty exciting. We get two congressmen now and two senators. That'll be pretty exciting. So it's that time of year again when we start looking at the data. So how do we redistrict in Montana, and why do we redistrict? We redistrict because people move around. And in order to have a district be apportioned correctly by the people in it, you have to have a census data of their information so you know where the people live, so you know which areas get the proper representation, both in the House seats and Senate seats that are drawn for the state of Montana, but also to create the overall districts for congressional. Now, most people are like, what do you mean that we all vote for both senators? Well, yeah, because both senators represent the entire state. I believe back in the 80s, that 80 cycle from 84 to 90 or so, I believe we had a second seat. We might have even had it all the way up into the beginning of the 2000s. But and that seat was split, and I've got that on the slideshow, split basically right in half kind of population-wise, kind of like right down along the continental divide, the east and west, you know, seat one and seat two. And so we're during the legislative cycle – actually, let's back up. So how do we set up the districts? Now, it's you've heard me say repeatedly, Jim, to you and your viewers, I think the Montana Constitution is horrible. It needs to be thrown out and redone. But one of its failures is it allows for the political parties themselves to draw these boundaries. So it's pretty pathetic. So the Republicans pick two people, the legislature picks two folks, and the Democrats, they pick two folks. And then those four folks are supposed to decide on the deciding vote, the fifth member, who's usually the chair. And if they can't decide, the Supreme Court appoints that person. Well, for the last two cycles, the two decennial cycles that I've been involved, the Democrats never agree with us. And so the Supreme Court always has been appointing that individual. And invariably, the individual is left of center at the very least. And so it's always been a 3-2, at least in the last 20 years.
You lost your audio. Did you happen to hit that button on accident?
Oop, there you go. Is that better?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yep.
See, I said the word Democrat, so, you know, I thought you were going to delete me out of there.
I will bleep that out. I will bleep that bad word out later on. Okay.
So the Democrats, there's two. Republicans, there's two. And then the tiebreaker in between is appointed by the Supreme Court. So invariably, the last two full decennial cycles, like I was saying, it's been decided by a 3-2 majority of left-leaning individuals on the meeting group. Now, why is that important right now? It's, well, they've been meeting for basically 2 years. I think they started in late 18, early 19. So they met in 19, they met in 20, and they're meeting again. And so tomorrow, that would be Thursday, they're meeting again. And the importance of this meeting is they're discussing what we call the criteria. So you have to set up the rules of how to draw the boundaries. You can't just draw whatever you want. Has to be some rules to it. And so that's what they're discussing tomorrow. I'm excited about that. The Republicans have released what they want as their mandatory and discretionary criteria. The Dems, of course, have not. They love to drop a surprise on us, and it won't be a surprise because we're pretty much sure exactly what it'll say. But just trying to get folks fired up to understand what's going on, to be able to follow it, and to use our voice to reach out to these folks and let them know what we think.
Derek, we've got a PowerPoint presentation that you sent over here. Do you want to hit that? Do you want to hit the PowerPoint presentation? Would that sort of break things down a little bit better? Are we ready for that yet, or do you want to do a little more background before we go there?
No, that's great. The PowerPoint is a Civics 101 as well, and we can kind of fly through it. There'll be some points that we don't need to really hammer on, but just to help folks.
Okay, let's spend about 4 or 5 minutes on this page here.
We need to watch that analysis and commentary from Derek Skies. If you're left of center, that's not what you're going to like.
Okay. So we've got
– go ahead. Basically, this one just shows Article 5, Section 14 of the Montana Constitution talks about district and apportionment, and it describes everything I just said to you. I put in red the components about the congressional district because that's what I'm really focusing on. So if you notice, it says each district shall consist of compact and contiguous territory. All districts shall be as nearly equal in population as applicable or as practicable. And so that's all it really says in our Constitution about drawing these districts. So then you look at Section 14, Sub 2, it says, and a plan for redistricting the state into congressional districts. And then 3 just tells you 90 days after the official census figures are available, you have to file your plan for the congressional districts. Now, this doesn't go to the legislature for approval. It doesn't go to the citizens for an approval. The commission themselves passed this. So it just becomes the rule. And so if you notice on the bottom there, I put let's go back to the other page if you would, Jim. Down the bottom, I wrote, please note, there is no direction in the Constitution on how to draw a congressional district, except that it has to be nearly equal in population. So the Supreme Court and the left have been saying that we passed the bill, House Bill 506, that gives direction. So when you look at the Constitution, if it tells you how to do something and it leaves other things out, then the other things out are what we quantify in law. And so how can it be unconstitutional if it doesn't say it in here? And so I just wanted to call that attention because you know the left is going to sue House Bill 506 because they don't want us having an input on how things are going to be done. So I just wanted to kind of prime the pump for that.
Let's pause for 1 second on that. I want to get your comment. I received a message from Gary Marbot this morning. You probably are on his email too. They've come and put a temporary injunction on the campus carry. I guess a district judge has come out and put a preliminary injunction on it, apparently. Derek, here's what frustrates me. The bills that got signed, that bill got signed by Governor Gianforte. After it went through the full process of the committee, both houses, it got through both houses and went to Governor Gianforte. He signed it. It seems to me that it's the will of the people, because the legislators are the ones that are closest to the folks, not the judges. Yet a judge comes along and can stop the will of the folks with just a signature or a ruling. That's absolutely 1,000% wrong, Derek. I don't care what country you're living in or what state you're living in. One judge should not be able to usurp the will of over a million people in Montana. Any thoughts on that?
No, I couldn't agree more. And the sad thing is, their argument, and we heard this during the legislature, was the Constitution is clear. It allows the Board of Regents to control and direct what happens in schools. Well, it doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that they are immune from the laws we pass, nor does it say anywhere in the Constitution that we cannot pass laws telling them how to do it. And so, Montana, if you look at our Constitution, one of the things it says right is that all legislative authority resides in the legislature. And so we're the ones that write the rules. And so how could they even begin to say it's unconstitutional that we wrote a rule that they have to obey by, for your same arguments? So it's pathetic. And we all know, I mean, there's no shock. We could do an entire story just on the failures of Montana Supreme Court. We know the Supreme Court's going to overturn it. As a matter of fact, Jim, if you look at it, I believe there's 11 specific lawsuits against legislation. And then the one about the closed meeting in an attempt to wipe out 3 pro-life bills in one sweep. The radical left that are in control of our judiciary in Montana is systematically going to try to disintegrate everything we did during the session. So yeah, you're right. It's horrible. It's tyranny on parade.
Well, is there still something going on? If we can just digress for a second, is there still something going on with Attorney General Knudsen and his battle against the Supreme Court? I know that thing with the emails and stuff like that got out of where's that sitting right now? That didn't just go away, I hope.
No, definitely not. And in point of fact, the legislature empowered a panel, a commission, so to speak, to investigate it, chaired by Greg Hertz. Up here in the Flathead, we've got the Amy Regeers, one of the members, and they're empowered. We gave them money. They've hired a legal counsel, and we're investigating it hardcore. The emails are another whole scenario, and this is what's really pathetic. What the emails show us is a clerk in the Supreme Court. Now, we're trying to figure out, did the Supreme Court direct her to do this? Because right. that's the smoking gun. And she was reaching out in emails and polling judges on how they thought about the back crap crazy stuff the Republicans are doing. So they were polling each other on, yeah, you're right, that's a horrible bill. When it comes before me, I'm gonna overturn it. That is entirely 100% against the law. So no, the legislature's fired up. We're pissed off. This is a total breach of power. I personally, between me and you and the fence post, I'd love to see a couple of folks get impeached over this, because this is entirely bad. Everyone's still investigating this, both the Attorney General and the legislature.
Excellent to hear. Excellent news. Okay. We got this looks like the 2020 commission here. Only name recommend or I recognize is Jeff Essman there. That's the only name I really recognize very well.
Yep. He's second from the left there. You have Dan Stusik, Jeff Essman. The lady in the middle underneath the lamp, that was Sheila Stern. She resigned. She was the Supreme Court nomination. We were excited about her because out of all the ones that they could have nominated, she was actually pretty center. I think she would have done a really, really good job. And you keep going down, you've got Ms. Kendra Miller and then Joe Lamson. Joe at the very far right, which is kind of funny. If you notice, he's actually on the far left if you're standing.
Yeah, right.
And that's exactly where he should be. He was there at the last redistricting, so he's their power guy. He knows how to draw the most amoebic shapes in the world. And then you have this young lady here, Maylin Smith, is now taking this spot of Ms. Stearns, and now she's the chair. And so her history is she's a tribal attorney. And from just my cursory look at her, she's an advocate for the left and all things left. So I'm not really enamored with what she might do. I pray that she keeps an even keel and tries to write the best districts possible. But It remains to be seen. Here's the direct contact information for the folks. And you can find all this at leg.mt.gov districting. And under districting, it has all the different commissions. And so if you just use that as your search, you go right to the page. You can have them notify you and keep you up to date with stuff that's going on, too, from that page.
Derek, I just don't get, man. I just don't get why. I mean, the majority of Americans don't want socialism. They don't want it. They want to be free. I just don't understand why they're still, they even have a, I guess they've got the media behind them. That's the only thing I can think of. If it wasn't for having the mainstream media behind the left, I don't think that they would get nearly as much traction. I think that not nearly as many people as they think are on their side. Who wants to be enslaved? Who wants to live like a slave and have, you know, hyperinflation and live in compact cities and be lorded over by these so-called leaders that want us to do vaccines and masks and IDs, vaccine IDs, passports. I don't know, Derek. I mean, why do they still get so much traction? Is it just because are we just not woke enough yet? Or are we just so captured by the media and the propaganda that we just can't get past the lie? I mean, how do we solve this, Derek? Because normal guys like you and I look at this and go, why would you ever be a liberal? Why? What is it? You're destroying your own country and your own family and your own future by being a member of this group, and yet people still there's still millions of them. Any thoughts? Any answers?
Yeah, I believe it was Lenin that said these folks are useful idiots. They look at the utopian picture that the socialists paint. That, by the way, has never been able to be achieved whenever they embrace socialism, and then so socialism is always brought on a lie. And so it's a giant lie, and the younger folks that don't have enough of the knowledge of what's going on in the world seem to be the main force that's embracing it. Now you're right, it's pathetic, and the best way to perpetrate a lie is to have the legacy media folks carry it for you.
Well, we're gonna take a quick respite here on some things. We're gonna take a little bit of a comic relief. We're gonna play a video that was put together by the Lincoln County. Young Republicans, and
it was Lewis and Clark guys.
What I meant. I meant Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark guys. We're gonna put that. We're gonna play this here real quick, and then we'll be back. This is great, great stuff, folks.
I'm Chair Usher, Mr. L. Thank you again for coming in today and giving us your testimony. I have a question. You said twice in your information you gave to us this morning that there was a misinformation. Could you specifically tell me what the parts of misinformation that you're hearing from the proponents on this bill?
Chair Usher, Representative Skies, there is a difference of opinion about the impact of this bill, and I think that ultimately that is the most global frame of misinformation that is being put forward today by the proponents of this bill.
Mr. Chair, follow up, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Terrell, so you're specifically saying that if somebody presents an opinion that's different than yours, it's misinformation?
Good stuff. Great stuff. You got Lewis and Clark, Young Republicans, man. That's good stuff. You know, they've got a couple of zingers like that on their Facebook page. They've done that about 3 or 4 times. Derek, and you know the thing is that's the thing. You know, when you're just speaking truth, and you're standing up for constitutional principles and liberty, these people on the left, you can make them look like fools just by talking the truth. Just by speaking the truth, they just look like idiots because they do nothing but craft lies and propaganda and useless information just, you know, to placate the masses. I mean, we're really in bad shape. We're really in trouble in this country, Derek. I mean, I hate to sound so pessimistic, but man, we're gonna have. I mean. There's only so many guys like you and I and people that, you know, that we know that are liberty-minded. We need some of these younger folks to stand up and say no. And I really think this younger generation, what is it, Generation Z? I can't even keep track anymore. But I think they are way more conservative than their predecessors. So there is hope. We just have to get the word out fast, man.
Well, and if you look at that video, that I had a lot of fun doing that. I did it a lot during the session. I was in judiciary and got to expose the depth of the puddle of their argument, which is really pathetic. And that video is put together by the young folks, the young Republicans, 26 years old and younger, And I was honored to be one of their keynote speakers at their Charlie Kirk, it's called Turning Point USA at their function. And they don't call themselves Gen Z, Jim. They call themselves Generation Free. And man, excited. These
like
folks
that.
Are fired up.
I like that.
And that's so no, there's a bright spot, and that's these folks are rejecting that truth.
Well, we're going to take a quick
the lie that they're projecting as truth.
We're going to take a quick commercial break here and give some love to our friend Dan Korn and his fine shop up there. And I know Derek, you know Dan. We're going to take a quick commercial break here for the corner shop, and we'll be back after these brief messages with Representative Derek Skies, soon to be nominee for Public Service Commission here. Actually, maybe really not the nominee yet, I don't think, and not until it's official, but at least you've put your hat in the ring. We'll be back with him. Derek, why don't you give out some websites or anything, any information you want to give out to the folks, email addresses, websites, phone numbers, social security number, blood type, I don't know, things like that.
You can reach me by cell, of course, 406-212-5493, and then just Derek Skies at Gmail, spelled the way you see it on the screen. No dots, no dashes, just Derek Skies at Gmail. I have a website, DerekSkies.com, but Jim, the left, they attacked it and crashed it, so I'm trying to figure out how to get it back up, and so that's kind of exciting. So I guess I'm honored, but as soon as I get that back up, you'll be able to go to that.
Oh, yeah, I've been hacked and crashed many times, man. It's a badge of honor. Good for you. Good for you. Have you been, you've been attacked by right-wing watch yet? You had to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I'm not that savvy.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back after these brief messages here with our good friend Derek Skies, and we'll continue with the PowerPoint, talk about this redistricting and what we can do, what you can do to help. We'll be back after these brief messages, MontanaDailyGazette.com, MontanaGazetteRadio.com. If you could hit that little disc for me, Derek, I'd appreciate it. And we'll be back after these brief messages with Representative Derek Skies. If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility. Okay, folks, if you want some excellent car repair service, full service, you can go to the Corner Shop. They're right south of the courthouse. Just go around the loop there, and they're the really cool showroom on the right with all the hot cars. Dan Korn and his great staff, they always do a great job of service and repair, and I never had any complaints with them. There was one time there was an issue. I took it back right away. They took care of it immediately. No charge, no hassle, and that's the way they roll there at the Corner Shop. So if you want to support them, you can let them know that you came from Montana Gazette Radio. 755-7777, 755-7777. I wanted to remind you that we'll be going on AM and FM here pretty soon. We haven't announced the actual station name yet. We will soon, well in advance, but it'll be a really big move for us here. And we have already have some other great personalities that have decided to come on board and join us on the network. So we're excited for that, and names you will know for sure. And we'll announce that stuff when the time comes. Right now, we are joined by Representative Derek Skies. We'll bring Derek back over here. Always great to have Representative Skies on the line with us. And Derek, I have to say, you know, thanks for holding on after the break. With what Trump had done, you know, in 4 years, and of course, my personal view is he still is the president technically. That got stolen from him, but that aside. What he's done in 4 years to wake people up and energize folks, and now the way that the left is acting as far as the borders are concerned, trillions of dollars in spending, gas is going up, food's going up, the price of houses are just off the charts. I saw a thing here where a pile of lumber that was a year ago cost, I think, $600 or $700, now cost about $3,000. I mean, it is just, you're in construction, it's crazy. I don't think I don't. They're ruining. They're killing themselves. The left is ruining their own part. I think there's even liberals that are pretty much getting fed up with what's going on, Derek. What's your thoughts? You got your fingers on the pulse of what's going on. I know across the state, are you seeing even some liberals? There are some hardcores, of course, that are never gonna come across. But these people that were always in the middle and kind of on the fence, the moderates, if you will, I think they're even getting fed up with the shenanigans going on with the left. Any thoughts on that?
No, I couldn't agree more, Jim. I don't call Biden the president. He's the thief in chief. There's so much evidence that shows the Democrats stole that election. And it really, really shows Americans exactly what's going on. 75 million Americans voted for Trump, and then they happen to find 5 million dead Democrats that voted for Biden. So now he's at 80 million. There's no way. Only in 7 cities did he even perform better than her. And those are the 7 cities that cheated the election for days after the shutdown. Nah, it's pathetic. And now we're finding out from all the Fauci gates that this virus was probably a release designed to do exactly what it's doing. And that's just wiping out the Western world so that China can walk in and scoop us up. Nah, it's pathetic. And then there's another thing, Jim. I think it's what's really an awakening point is almost everything Trump said is proving true. You know, hydrochloroquine. Well, now, hey, guess what? Hydrochloroquine's okay. Well, it was only bad because Trump supported it. You look at all these things that were, you know, it's just pathetic. And then now what? They're renegotiating with Iran now this next couple of days before there's even a new Iranian president. Of course, that election is more of a joke than ours. Right. So, yeah, no, I pray America is waking up.
I read this morning on Zero Hedge where they're going to unwind all the tariffs that Trump put in place.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. This is the only way that we're going to. I talked to a woman this morning, Derek, and I'm going to be releasing that information earlier, that literally had two of her properties stolen by the banks. Matter of fact, they stopped taking her payment. And she had the bank tellers that were going to come and testify in court in her case to say, yes, we were instructed to stop taking payments from this person. Then they foreclosed on her because she had so much equity in her ranch. The judge stopped the bank employees from testifying on her behalf, just said, no, we're not going to let them testify. Until people realize, Derek, that the whole entire thing is run by a criminal, the organized crime ring. I know that sounds... That sounds sensational, folks, but I'm telling you, what else do you call it besides organized crime when you see the same type of pattern happen over and over again, no matter what county you're in, no matter what city you're in, no matter what state you're in, these crooks continue to use the same pattern over and over again, and I'm calling them crooks. You've been on my show numerous times, Derek. I don't hold things back. These are criminals. It's organized crime, man, and we're never going to advance in this country unless we come to terms with the fact that criminals run things. It's true. I hate to admit it. Derek Skies, maybe you don't think the same way, but please comment on that.
No, it's amazing because you look at the last election cycle, we had a giant red wave in Montana. We own, or I should say, we run the executive branch now. We run all 5 of the land board positions. I think we have seen just from those executives, talking to those folks, in the last 16 years of Democrat rule, and honestly, Schweitzer and Bullock were both criminals. I mean, they have done so many things that were at borderline ethical. And it's replete throughout the system. It's funny how they say there's systemic racism. I disagree with that, but there is systemic corruption, no doubt. And so, we need to get to the bottom of it. I pray the Republicans show some more courage and all this, man, once you get into office, let's look to the future. Let's don't look back at the past. No. If you're breaking the law and violating the Constitution and ripping people off, you need to go to jail. So, yeah, I agree. I'd love to see some deep dives into all the things that are specifically in Montana that's going bad.
That's a key word you just used right there, my friend. That right there, that one word right there is what we're lacking in this nation. That's courage. People have to have courage. If everybody had courage and stood up, this whole thing would come crumbling down because it's all based upon a lie and a fraud. And anyway, that's another topic altogether. Okay, so we've got the PowerPoint. We've also got a website here with some mandatory criteria for congressional districts. Let's run through that really quick, Derek. Let's go here. I think this is – there we go. All right, tell us a little bit about here, this mandatory criteria. Just give us a brief overview. It looks like it's pretty short.
Yep. And so basically what they're going to discuss tomorrow in the commission and then what they're going to vote on in their July meeting – is the rules to draw the district. And so historically, there's been two criteria. One that's called mandatory. That means you have to do these things. And one that's called discretionary, and you should do these things. Now, this is the plan submitted by the Republicans. Like I said, there is no plan yet for the Democrats. So let's just look at these six. Look at the last one first. Criteria shall be prioritized and uniformly applied in the order listed above. So that means one is critical. Two is almost as critical, but not as critical as one. Three, four, five, you know, like that. So the first one is congressional districts must be equal in population as practicable. And that's in the U.S. Constitution, and it's in our Constitution. You saw the link on the beginning of the PowerPoint. So that's a no-brainer. And there's really no way you can game that. You have to make sure that the two congressional – remember, this is Congress, not Montana legislators. Second is what we're suggesting is you must comply with Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. That's a federal law. And it's the Equal Protection Clause, and that race cannot be the predominant factor to which other criteria are subordinated. Now, what that was designed for was sort of like in Montana specifically, the only other populous race besides the white is the tribe. And so it was designed so that we couldn't, in the past, write a bunch of districts that included just a little chunk of the tribe, and then the white man had a bigger chunk of that. So you're subordinating the ability for the tribe. And so that right there, that's an awesome thing. But it also should be applied the same way to make sure you don't create districts that you shouldn't draw a giant amoeba in order to get every single tribe in the one congressional district so that you get a tribal district. And so that's the importance of number two. It goes both ways. Number three is the districts must be compact. Compactness is greatest when a district's length and its width are equal, as is a circle or maybe even like a square. And so you want to try to get the equal population. And what this will do is it'll be an East district and a West district. And that we can look at the PowerPoint presentation of the way they drew the district back in the 80s. Perfect. It was pretty much a square. And so that's what that little section is. If you want to go back
so,
to it.
So when you, have, here we go. When you have a place like, obviously a place like out East, where they have where they don't have much of a population out there. I mean, obviously you're going to have to, because in compared to like Kalispell, for example, you're going to have to move the line a little further to the left to include more people on the right, because I think the left side of Montana has got more population. I say the left side, but here, let me bring this up right here. Is that what you're talking about right there? The districting thing?
Well, what this shows is how bad they did the districts last cycle. So look at Missoula. This is a map of Missoula.
Okay.
And if you notice, it's basically a pie. Look at that number. Now, the pink numbers are the Senate districts. So there'll be two House districts per pink district. And the House districts are the high 90s, and they're like a gray or brown color. So just look at the one in the northeast quadrant. It's Senate District 46. That's House District 92. And House District 91. See how that looks?
Yes.
Now look at this. Look at the city. Look at where 91 runs in and catches a little tiny chunk of downtown. And then 92 comes in and catches a little chunk of East Missoula. Well, the folks in Sealy Lake and that area, they've never seen their representative in 10 years because he doesn't have to come out there, because all he's got to do is work in that little area where you see the number 91. That's where 60%
right.
of the district lives. And they've done this. So look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 House guys that are basically neighbors in the city of Missoula. That's a pathetic district. What Missoula should be is 3 or 4 seats that just are little squares or circles that comprise all of the urban populations of Missoula, and then have those rural districts be drawn where they're pretty much rural. You see how the Democrats drew those districts?
Yeah.
And another thing the Democrats did, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is – there's a deviation in population. So back in the day, when the era of Stagecoach, when we first became a state, it was always hard to get the exact numbers. And so everybody figured that there could be a plus or minus 5% variable when you're trying to estimate populations back in 1889. So today, with census data, no way. We should be at 1% or less deviation. So why is that important? Well, the Democrats, since they're in control, they take it and they underpopulate their districts by that 5% and overpopulate Republican districts by 5%. So for simple math, you'd look at, say there's a million people in Montana, each district should have roughly 10,000 people. Well, the Democrat districts have, what, 9,500, and the Republican districts have 10,500 because there's not as many Democrats, and so they're trying hard to draw specific Democrat districts. Okay, now what you're showing is the PowerPoint. That's the original district of 1984. Now, look, if you notice, it catches the Flathead, it catches Kalispell, catches Missoula, catches Helena, catches Gallatin County, so you're catching Bozeman. So that was all District 1. District 2 was basically Great Falls, and, of course, I'm going by big urban areas. Great Falls there in Cascade and the Yellowstone, the big population center of Yellowstone.
Billings,
just
yeah,
the
Billings.
Big one.
Yeah, big Bighorn, Billings, yeah.
And so notice how that district is contiguous. It's yeah. Like.
Yes.
It's geographic, and that half of it is actually the Continental Divide line.
Yes.
And so that's a perfectly drawn district back before there was hyperpartisanship of the day. But I'll switch to that next image, Jim, and I'll show you. This is what the Democrats wanted, and I put this on the desks of the legislators. And that one's a first idea, but that's not nearly as bad as the second idea, although it's real similar. Let's jump to that next idea. It's even more dramatic. Look at that. Look at that. So what you're doing on this map is you're catching every single tribe along the High Line. Coming over, look at the Flathead, Jim. You're splitting the Flathead right in half. You're taking the North Valley, which is left of center in our area, going along, catching all of Missoula, avoiding Granite, coming down, catching all of Butte, and then going across, catching missing Gallatin, but catching a chunk of it, and then going all the way over and catching a chunk of Yellowstone. Drawing that district just like this creates a 60.2% Democrat-leaning district. This is what the Democrats want to see for Congress.
We're not going to let this happen, of course.
Well, the cards are stacked against us. The only way we're going to stop this is if your listeners and my friends and your friends and all of Montana holler out and tell the Democrats you cannot do this. Now, one thing, if you want to back up a couple more pages, we passed House Bill 506. And remember how in the beginning of the show we were talking about how there's nothing in the Constitution that says how to draw the districts. So here we go. We passed House Bill 506. So if you look at this is existing code 51-115. Subject to federal law, congressional district must be established on the basis of population. That's already in there because that's our Constitution. So now let's scroll up two more. That's Section 1. That's already existing. Section 3, that's already existing. Now, this is critical. This is the new Section 4. This is now law in Montana. This was House Bill 506 by Representative Fielder, and it gives basically four criteria that have to be struck. So what we're saying is must comply with the following criteria. This is a must comply. So we're wanting it to be a mandatory criteria. Districts must be equal and practicable. It's equal as practicable. So we got to make sure the populations are equal, and that's in the Constitution, both U.S. and Fed. Or I should say U.S. and state. Next is district boundaries must coincide with the boundaries of political subdivisions of the state, that means counties and precincts, to the greatest extent possible. The number of counties and cities divided among more than one district must be as small as possible. When there is a choice between dividing local political subdivisions, the more populous subdivision must be divided before the less populous, unless the boundary is drawn along a county line that passes through a city. Then districts must be contiguous, meaning that a district must be in one piece. Areas that meet only at points of adjoining corners or areas that are separated by geographical boundaries or artificial barriers that prevent transportation within a district may not be considered. Last, the districts must be compact, meaning that the compactness of a district is greatest when its length and its width are equal. A district may not have an average length greater than three times the average width unless necessary to comply with the Voting Rights Act. So we passed this to block that horrible-looking C that you saw. Yep, we did this to block that. That district would break breaks the law now.
Oh, okay. So are you saying that the court's going to try to overthrow it?
Well, they haven't yet, but I'm quite sure. I mean, there's over 11 bills we've passed that they're going to try and overturn. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Or they just ignore it altogether. We sue them for ignoring it. Where does it go? To our incredibly pathetic Supreme Court. So the cards are definitely stacked against us. Now, Jim, that having been said, even with that pie chart you just saw of Missoula, what did we just have in the last cycle? What have we had for this entire decade? Republicans in charge. So even with the Democrats gerrymandering the districts the best they can, we still win because there's so many conservatives in the state of Montana.
Right.
And so not all is lost. Don't lose hope. The Democrats will shoot themselves in the foot, I think, if they design a nightmare district like this, because the people in Montana will understand exactly what's going on.
We're
going
to open the phone lines up. If you want to take a couple calls, Derek, if we can get people to call in. It's hit or miss usually with the phones. But if you want to call in and talk to the spectacular representative from House District 11, Derek Skies, and soon to be Public Service Commissioner, hopefully, you can call in at 515-602-9736, 515-602-9736, and you can speak to the man, the myth, the legend, Derek Skies. Derek, what is on your what's on your right now that keeps you up at night, I guess, if you want to put it that way. I know that you're not the kind of guy that sits around worrying about that stuff, but, you know, sort of to use a term, what keeps you awake at night? What's on your radar right now that most concerns Derek Skies?
Well, I agree with you. There's a lot of federal concerns, but I have no ability to affect the federal concerns. I can call my buddy Matt. I can call, Representative Congressman Rosendale, and I can call Senator Daines. And I feel good that I've talked to them, you know, blah, 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 and it feels better. But I'm putting all my energy on the things that I can affect, and that's things in Montana. This redistricting commission, we can affect this. If 200,000 Montanans wrote emails to everybody involved in this commission, guess what? The Dems are going to think twice before they draw a giant C like that, because it's obvious they're cheating the system. And then it gives us a monster standing to sue. Plus, we have law that we passed, so we might have a chance to even get it passed our Supreme Court and get adjudicated by the feds, have the feds say, nah, you guys are, once again, Montana Supreme Court, you're screwing up. And so that's one of the main things on my radar, because their meeting is tomorrow. Their big decision is in July. That's the first one. Second one is the lawsuit. I really can't speak specific to it, because every single one of us are basically involved in the lawsuit, but the horror of what our Supreme Court did really needs to be aired out, exposed, and those folks need to be brought to task. That is pathetic. We are not co-equal branches of government. The Supreme Court runs around like they're the lords of the whole thing, and that's another thing that really bugs me. Another thing is the next cycle, the election results for next cycle. And you're right. I gave the session about an A-. If I was a slacker teacher, I would have given it a B+. But we could have done so much better. We should have had right to work. We should have had a bunch more liberty-minded bills. We should have had the freedom of speech hammered down on the social medias. There's a bunch of things that should have passed. And I tell everybody, nothing died in the session without Republican votes. Nothing died. So any of our really good bills that died in the session, they died because of Republican votes. And so that's both House and Senate.
I'm sorry. No, I thought you were done.
We still have the fight to go on there. We have to make darn sure this next primary, we send even more aggressive conservatives that are going to stick to the platform, stick to what they promise people they're going to do, and don't go soft and don't go wimpy on taxes and increasing the size of schools. The schools have enough money, man. They have plenty of money. $12,800 per butt in the seat, and they can't get it done. It's pathetic. And so those are just a core group of things that are on my plate, at least, Jim.
No, right on, right on. 515-602-9736, 515-602-9736, if you want to call in and speak to Derek Skies. Derek, we are, we're believe it or not, we're coming up here soon on another campaign season. I know that's amazing, but probably within another month or two, there's going to be campaigns are going to be kicking off. Certainly, the press here in Montana, the mainstream press, I guess you could say, fake news press, their influence is waning. I see their influence waning. I see people understanding and recognizing that they're really basically mouthpieces for the liberal side of the equation. Do you see, Derek, moving forward, do you see a slow death of the mainstream media and the establishment media just because they don't tell the truth? Do you see that moving forward? And what I'd like to do is I'd like to be able to get all of the conservative legislators, not even talk to these people, just call the Montana Daily Gazette. We've got a hotline. Call the Montana Daily Gazette and just have us break the news. Not because it's because we want to be first, But why even give these people the time of the day? They don't report truthfully. They lie. They misquote. They omit truth. Why even talk to these people is what I don't understand. Why do conservatives even talk to the press? Not our press, but the left press.
No, I agree. And actually, during the session, I told a lot of folks, specifically anybody from the AP, when they called me to get interviewed, I said, nope. I said, the freedom of speech comes with the responsibility for truth, and you understand and deserve neither. So I would never do an interview with the AP. I still won't. I did an interview the other day with Phil Drake, although even he's borderline anymore. He used to be pretty good, but being affiliated now with the Billings Gazette, and he did a hit piece on the Turning Point event. The Turning Point event, they had all these speakers. They're all minorities, Hispanic kids, Asian kids. The room was filled with minorities. And what does Phil Drake do? He names the kids that are speaking, says nothing about their race, and then later in his same piece, he talks about how it was a white racial supremacist meeting. Pathetic. Now here's why I think that the press, the legacy press, is dying. The ABC, NBC, CBS Evening News, those are a la carte now on cable. You know, people aren't watching that anymore. And there's so many other opportunities to get your news elsewhere, so you don't have to worry about that. And then the newspapers, guess who reads the newspapers, Jim? It's folks our age and older. None of the younger folks are reading the newspaper. And all the folks our age or older are pretty savvy, and we're realizing how much we're being lied to. And so we're really not even reading that anymore. So, yeah, I think it's they're all on the death knell. Hagedorn and Lee newspapers, I think they're on their last legs. If anybody has a subscription to either one of them, you should cancel it and maybe read it at the haircut guy or read it at the pharmacy. But don't give them any money. Don't buy. Don't advertise on them. You know, I'd love to see them suffer a huge defeat. And then the beautiful thing is, if there is a desire for that kind of printed material, then maybe somebody will rise up and do a better job taking care of the news, and they'll survive in this market. That's really what needs to happen to a lot of these outfits.
Perhaps the Montana Daily Gazette will come out with a once a week newspaper. We'll see.
There you go,
we'll
man.
We'll see.
There you go.
Because I think there really is. I still think there are people that love to sit down with a cup of coffee and a paper newspaper. That's honest, that prints honest and, you know, honest news. I think there's still an allure to sit there, and I know I would love to do that. See, flip through a paper, having a cup of coffee. I mean, you know, I do get my stuff online like most people, but there's still something of that. You know, I used to deliver the newspaper. Maybe you did too. I don't know if you were a paper boy when you were younger, but I delivered the paper when I was like 12, 13 years old. So I kind of got a little bit
that was a whole different world, wasn't it, Jim?
Oh man, are you kidding me? Boy, yeah. I tell you, if I only knew then what I knew now.
Well, yeah. So let's put Lee and Hagedorn out of business for subscriptions, and then let's have you guys compete and give Murray, Povich, and Connie Chung run for their money in the Flathead Beacon.
Yeah, right on. Right. I think we're already beating them online. We're beating everybody as far as online traffic is concerned by a lot. As a matter of fact, I think three weeks ago or a month or so ago, we beat them all combined in one day as far as views. Now, right now, of course, things have slowed down a little bit because, you know, I mean, everybody's got a little bit of exhaustion from the primaries and the campaigning, and then the legislative session just ended here a little over a month ago.
And we're coming into a summer free of COVID, quote unquote. So, yeah, a lot of folks I've talked to, we're not really going to kick off our campaigns till Labor Day. Let's enjoy a summer where we're breathing fresh air and having fun with our families and trying to find some normalcy in our lives again. Thank God we live up here. I went to an event and was in a hotel room and was watching the news and just couldn't believe how pathetic commercials have become. I mean, I don't watch TV. Mm-hmm. And all the sheeple out there, man, it's just this mask thing. I mean, with the exposure of Fauci, and masks are not, I mean, even look at their own scientist data. It's brutal. Jim, you know, I've always said, now I'm going to switch this to scientists use data like a drunk uses a lamppost for support rather than illumination.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. Good point. Good point, Derek. And I think that who's going to be responsible for all these people they put in nursing homes? I mean, thousands of people died in nursing homes. You and I walk into the bank, you know, with a ski mask on, we're going to spend 5 years in prison. Yet these people killed people. I mean, I'm not. That's what they did. They sentenced these people to their death. I don't know. Is there any law and order, Derek, at all? Is there any justice in this country? I mean,
yeah, and there's no truth too, Jim. Because remember, if you look back at the CDC figures for 2020, guess what? We cured the flu. No deaths from the flu. Guess what else we cured with COVID? We cured death by diabetes. I mean, you look at all of the indices of things that have killed Americans over the last 20 years, and last year almost all of them went to zero. So when you look at this 500,000 dead by COVID, how much was really killed by COVID? Now, the CDC also gave numbers. The last one I saw was a couple months ago, and it was really 10 or 11,000 total people have died just of COVID. Everybody else died with other complications. And so, you know, this thing still is 99% chance to survive. We're freaking out over the flu. We're pushing a thing and calling it a vaccine, and even the FDA doesn't call it a vaccine. Nah, the world's gone upside down. Thank God we live up here, Jim.
From what I've heard, Derek, there's even up to 12,000 people and counting that have died since they've taken the jab, since they've taken the, you know, the experimental DNA altering chemical injection. They've got over 12,000 people now that have died. And you know, the thing that troubles me, Derek, is they're trying to vaccinate the youth. Who, I mean, I think the percentage of them that die is like 0.001%. I mean, some number that's just not even statistically significant. But what do you think about this, Derek? Now they're offering free joints in Washington, but if you get the jab, free pot, whatever. They're offering $1 million lotteries in certain states. If you take the jab, you're going to get a chance to win free cell phone service for a year, free concert tickets. Why in the world? And here's the thing that confuses me. When have we ever known the federal government to be concerned about our health, first of all, and so adamant about protecting us? And why are they so hard trying to convince people, like with trickery? It's like they're trying to trick them into taking this vaccine. Why is it so important for them to do that, Derek? Do you have any answer to why are they trying so hard to get that injection in each and every one of us? Something's behind it. I just don't know exactly what, but do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't know either. It's antithetical to logic. It doesn't make any sense. And if this thing truly is the vaccine and it keeps you from getting COVID, what does it matter if I don't get it? And another thing too, that is horrible. You look at the, like I just heard today, France reopened and you come to France as long as you prove that you've been vaccinated. Well, wait a minute. If you look at the term vaccinated, means the virus can no longer affect you because you've developed immunities. What about all the folks that had COVID, that didn't take the shot, that don't need it because they have natural immunities? Where are they included in this? Not that I would ever fly to France. I have no interest in seeing that country. You know, God bless those guys. Back in the days of Lafayette and when they helped us with our revolution, that was about the last time I really had respect for France. But you know, this is, I don't understand where this mania is coming from. I just, you know what it is, Jim? I think I've been reading the Bible a whole bunch more lately, and I try to read it a bunch. This is the battle between powers and principalities, man. I think we're really seeing evil rearing its ugly head, and this is the beast is loose. And I think we're seeing all sorts of stuff that just generation ago we would have thought there's no way that could happen in America. And it's all coming unraveled because of the, if it feels good to do it, leftist generation that, you know, don't judge. It's so funny. A lot of the even young folks in my family, you know, don't judge. I'm like, wait a minute. You judge when you wake up in the morning, put your clothes on. You judge when you decide what you're going to have for breakfast. You judge when you want to put something or not in your coffee. We judge every single day. Judgment is smart. I look at a hot stove. I'm not going to put my hand on it. I judge that that's a bad move. But yet we have all this backlash against, you know, don't judge me. That's the biggest reason that Christianity is so difficult to do, is because Christianity is we have a moral code to adhere to. And if you don't adhere to it, you hope that your friends can judge you and help you. Hey, man, wait a minute. Look at what you're doing, man. You might want to rethink that. Nah, well, it's a scary world.
If you're speaking biblically, if what you're saying is biblically true, you know what that means, don't you? We're soon going to be under persecution. We're soon going to be under persecution.
Well,
here,
the Christians being persecuted all over the world. I mean, look at what they did at ISIS and all the folks, the Christians in the Middle East. Now, I agree. That's coming to a doorstep near you.
Coming to a town near you. Derek, we're coming here towards the end of the broadcast. I know you got a Red Pill Nation event or something coming up here in St. Regis here, I think, in a couple of weeks. I know Richard Mack is coming here to town, I think, on that same day, but I may be going to your guys' event instead. Let us know what you can. Let us know if you can what you got coming up here. I mean, I know you. I think that's 24th in St. Regis. I know you're always very active. I know you're always out there. You know, I know people. A lot of people ask you to come and speak at their events, and I know that this is, of course, a very active, you know, patriotic place here, the Flathead Valley and surrounding areas. And I know that there's a lot of events that go on weekly, pretty much. Let us know if you can, Derek, what you got going on here as the year progresses here. We're halfway through the year. What's the second half of the year hold for you?
Well, the first thing is going to be the convention for the GOP, which is not this weekend, weekend after. And we're going to elect leadership in the GOP again. And, of course, like Charlie Kirk said, my favorite phrase, in order to unify, you must first purify. So we're going to try to make sure that our leadership stays right of center in the GOP so we can continue to serve the right of center majority population that's in Montana. So that's the first thing. Second thing we have in July, like you said, the 24th, is the Red Pill Festival. That's over in St. Regis. You just got to Google that phrase, put the word St. Regis, and you'll find it. And it's a whole bunch of freedom-oriented speakers, and it's going to be a lot of prayer and a lot of food and vendors and music and, just a wake-up event. And I'm quite sure the legacy media folks we were talking about, like Phil Drake, the idiot, he's going to be in there saying, oh, it's white racial supremacist. Quite positive it's all going to come out that way. And then after that, Montana is also honored to have host the Pinwar Summit. Last year it was, or I guess 2 years ago, it was last year, COVID killed everything. It was in Saskatoon. Pinwar, of course, is the Pacific Northwest Economic Region, and it's the Northwest states and the Northwest territories and provinces of Canada, and we kind of form a quasi-governmental NGO authority, and we're, you know, trying to coordinate and integrate trade between all those guys. And that is in Big Sky, and that's in August, I think, or September. I have to double-check my dates. So, yeah, nice, big, heavy summer, all sorts of fun things, hoping to squeeze in as much joy as I can with my family.
Did you see that the Canada now is basically, if you don't get vaccinated, they're going to lock you up. They're going to pretty much lock you up for a couple of weeks if you decide not to get vaccinated for everybody's safety. Canada's got some real big issues, man. I mean, forget the free trade aside. Their leadership is really, I mean, we've got bad leadership here. We've got phony leadership. They've just got bad leadership. I think they elected that guy. He just wants to destroy. I feel bad for our Canadian friends. There are a lot of great people in Canada. I've got friends of mine in Canada. They're just getting, I mean, now they're saying in Great Britain that they're never going to actually fully end the lockdowns. They're just going to, you know, ramp it up and ramp it down as necessary, but there's always going to be a specter of lockdowns in the background. I mean, the tyrants are just, they're pulling all the stops, Derek, because they know what you just said. This is the battle for everything right here, my friend. This is the battle for everything. We're in it now, folks. If you think you're going to avoid it, if you think you're just going to sit back and just let everybody else take care of it, ain't going to happen. It's happening now, and you're a part of it, whether you believe it or not, or whether you like it or not. Derek Skies, I'm going to give you the last word, my friend.
Yeah, I think the next stage, the pandemic thing is it's too costly. Too many kids committed suicide. Too many businesses are wiped out. The Dems are wearing the brunt of it because it's their policies, their states and their cities that are really embracing this lockdown. It's destroying them. And you're seeing a giant exodus. See, before, Jim, we had the left and the right all lived in the same city. Now you've got the right is getting the heck out of leftist cities. And so we're going to see a polarization on the map, I think, where you can definitely go to an area and guess what? It's pretty much all right of center. You go to another area, it's all left of center. So when that happens, what do we then have in common with the state of Washington? When all the good Washingtonians have moved out, you know, you got the whole eastern part of Washington and Oregon want to secede and join Idaho. And so we've got some amazing things. And the last but not least, so they're scared of the pandemic again. I don't think they want to do another pandemic, so they're going to talk to the Chinese. Don't release another one. That's not a good idea. But if you notice, the next idea is to have lockdowns related to this climate hoax. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be lockdown 2.0 is to secure us from destroying our environment. And, it's a scary world. But Jesus is in charge. He is still king. And I've read the book, and I know how it ends. And none of this bugs me because – I know when it's all over and I'm sitting in front of the feet of my Savior, I'm going to be proud that I fought as hard as I possibly could for the things that I know are right. And so I'm never going to give up. And Jim, I just hope your listeners, and I know you and your listeners, take heart in our faith and the love in our families, and keep on pressing on, man. That's all we can do.
I agree with you, man. But I think, I mean, my thought is, and I know you agree, we're supposed to fight evil all the way. We're supposed to tarry until he comes, man. We're supposed to just occupy until he comes. And that means fighting evil every single day until the last minute, as far as I'm concerned. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. It's not easy, folks. Trust me. I'm not here whining. I know Derek wouldn't whine either. But it's tasking, taking on this evil every single day. And doing, Derek does a little bit differently than I do it. But it doesn't matter. We're both fighting for the same cause. And it's weary, folks. It wears you down. We need more people joining. We need many hands make light work. So if you're wondering, if you're waiting for a call from headquarters, if you're waiting for a phone call from someone high up in the administration or someone from the Trump administration to call you up and say, it's time to get going, ain't going to happen, folks. Not going to happen. You're not getting that call. I'm giving you the call right now. It's time to stand up. We're in the fight of our lives right now. It's time to do it now. Derek Skies, we always appreciate you coming on the broadcast, my friend. Always glad to follow your work, and you're certainly a patriot and you're a statesman, and we are always delighted to have you on the broadcast. I'm glad to call you a friend.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for the kind words, and I join you in that call to the citizens, and take heart, man. Our better days are in front of us.
That's right. That's right. All right, folks. Derek, thanks so much for joining us here. We appreciate you being on. There goes Derek Skies, folks. One of the top legislators, I think, in the state of Montana, perhaps in the country. And we do appreciate him being here on the show. We're just out of time. And if you want to support us, you can go to MontanaGazetteRadio.com, MontanaGazetteRadio.com, or, of course, MontanaDailyGazette.com. We do appreciate you looking in. Till next time, this is James White for Montana Gazette Radio, saying bye now.